My success is not always apparent. Have you ever thought about that? Your success is not always apparent. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. My success is not always apparent. Now, for you music lovers, for you people of great variety of music interests, I will tell you, Bob Dolan performed for his high school talent show, and his classmates booed him off the stage. You just never know. My success is not always apparent. He performed in a high school talent show, and his classmates booed him off the stage. Now, usually they're a little more generous, but he must have really been bad. But he has certainly improved. How do you know what you're going to be? How do you know what you're going to express yourself in? You think that what you're doing now is all important and it's the most wonderful thing in the world. Now, Barbara made the silly statement. She says, 10 years ago, I would have never dreamed I would do all the things I did in between. Now, that's a silly statement. That's a silly statement. Everybody knows it. In a 10-year period, you do things you never dreamed of doing. But think about it. Do you do things you never dreamed of doing? Why not start doing those things now? Because your dreams are there. They're always in you. But why wait 10 years to start them? You know, and what's the next 10 years going to bring you? I mean, all you do is get younger and younger and younger, you know. But why not start enjoying what you want to enjoy now? Mark, my son, builds ultralight airplanes. And one of his neighbors came over and said, I like to fly. He said, but I could not renew my license because of my health certificate, but I still want to fly. And I want to fly. And Mark said, well, you don't need a license to fly an ultralight. He says, I'll take one. So he bought one. Now, this doesn't mean much to most of us, but it meant a lot to him. He was 78 years old, and he bought an ultralight, 78 years old. And he has a farm, and the farm had an interesting name. In the little community near Mark's house at San Luis Obispo. Not Paradise Valley, but something like Paradise. Paradise. Yeah, that's it. That's the name of the city, Paradise. And so he lives in Paradise.
So do I.
But he lives in Paradise right next to the edge of Highway 1 as it travels through there. And just drive off of Highway 1 at Paradise, and his is the first farm. And you see his ultralight parked right there. So he's a big field. And he takes off and lands, and he takes off and lands, and he flies around there and flies over the ocean and flies over Paradise and flies there and lands again. Well, one day he landed, he just wasn't feeling so good, and he landed improperly. And he crunched the landing gear and a few other things, but he walked away. And he called Mark, and he said, Mark, I crunched. And Mark said, how much? I said, just the landing struts, landing gears, that is. And Mark said, we'll take care of that. So Mark went over and took care of it for him, right on the spot. We welded it and fixed it up. And he says, oh, this is so wonderful. He says, I am in heaven when I'm in a plane. I am in heaven when I'm flying. It's not so high, you know, they're only maybe 1,000, 2,000 feet, maybe less, you know. But he's thoroughly enjoying himself. Now, if you had told him 10 years before that experience that he was going to have an ultralight airplane, he said, those little things, no way. Those nothings, you know, those featherweights, you know, no way. Because he was flying big stuff. But as he got older, they limited him to flight. They don't do that anymore now. But they limited him to flight. And they told him that he couldn't fly in the airlines. He couldn't do this and that and the other. But I want to fly. Flying is me, you know. And so he got the plane. Well, they fixed the struts, the landing gear, and so he took off again and flew and flew and flew and flew and flew. And he still is flying. And he is doing just great. Now, that was years ago. So he's in his 80s somewhere, you know. Maybe even 90s, who knows? No, really, the time goes quick. You don't think about that. When did Mark go up to Nolan?
Long time ago.
And this was a short time after he was up there.
Wow.
He met this old man, this young fellow. Yeah. And he had his dream. And Mark was able to help him with his dream. Now, Mark said, you might kill yourself. He said, so what? He said, I'm doing what I love. I'm doing what makes me, what gives my life meaning and purpose. Well, everything we do, we could kill ourselves.
True.
Now, you can tell me the names of some of these great musicians who were flying someplace and the airplane crashed and they died. You know? But they were great. They were great singers or musicians of various kinds. I don't remember their names, but they were playing music I hadn't an interest in. But they were great. The crowds loved them. You know, they just crowded around them. And when they were gone, they missed them, and they played their records. But then there were new people coming along, new dreamers flying their way, you know. And who's that young fellow who crashed the car and died, you know?
Oh, James Dean.
Jimmy Dean, yeah. Here he was, just a nice, ordinary person, doing whatever. I think he's still a teenager at that time, or maybe a little more. Still doing just what a young person would be doing, and crash. But he became an icon because he was doing what he wanted to do. Now, he may have been foolish, he may have been improper in what he did, but he did it. And he did what he believed he could do. I don't think he was in any way dangerous to anybody else in the world, or even himself, except he killed himself. But he was just doing what came naturally for him. Are you willing to lose your life for your dream? And now, that's a terrible thing to say. But are you willing to give your all to walk your path, whatever it may be, to accomplish the goal that you have? Now, what if you are right on the edge of reaching the jackpot? What if you've just been awarded $20 million on the sweepstakes, and tomorrow you pick it up, and today you die? You say, what a silly thing to do, you know? What a silly thing to do. Here you have this $20 million, and you could really have a ball with it, you know, and you die. What a silly thing to do. Well, life is like that. We take each wonderful blessing as they come along. Did you have the $20 million? Yep. You hadn't it in your hands yet, but it was yours, and you knew it. And so you mentally lived in the consciousness of having that $20 million, even if it was only for a day or two. But what difference does it make? Now, when you die, where do you go? What happens? You go to another dimension, as far as we understand. And on the other dimension, what are you going to do there? Are you going to spend that money? Are you going to take the talent you developed here and go there? What are you going to do? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When you have a baby, and that baby starts out, and you say, I wonder what it will be. And then 30 years later, 40 years later, it becomes the President of the United States. And you say, my God, my son, the President. And I say, I remember when my son didn't do all the things he should have done, you know. Well, you see, you have no concept of how something will reveal itself, unravel itself, and come out of the nothingness that it is to be the something that it is. And we never know. Now, Barbara, when she goes home and she hugs her son, what's going to happen? Magic. Magic. And the magic is up here, you know? It's not anywhere else. It's not in the sun. It's not in anything else. Sun's a perfectly fine guy. But she's just going to spin her magic weave around him like she does all of her life. Now, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to these stupid, stupid kids that come to her school? She sends them away wise. W-I-S-E. She sends them away intelligent. She sends them away having a new image of themselves, liking themselves, realizing that they can do things that they thought they couldn't, and doing things that they really didn't want to do. But she gave them a new incentive to do it. Now, what do you do, Ellen? What do you do when you go to a seminar with me and we're talking to all these wonderful people and you get up there and you bust out and so, Ellen, you can't sing. You don't know how to sing. You have no voice. You're nothing. But Ellen, you're wonderful. You sing like everybody else. You sing because of the joy in your heart. And everybody joins in the joy in your heart. They don't hear you as Mario Lanza. They don't hear you as Maria Callas or anything like that. They hear you as a joyful voice singing. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care. And you don't care.
I don't.
But if you cared, you wouldn't do it. You see? And then you'd miss all that fun. You'd miss all that fun. And Ingeborg, you go around here acting like, you know, you can shape up this whole ranch here. And don't you realize it's impossible? Every stick you pick up, another one falls down. Don't you realize that? Do you care? No. You just pick them up. Pick up sticks, you know. You just pick them up and toss them away. And you know you have a responsibility. You accepted it. You agreed that in 10 years you're going to have the Shangri-La looking like a temple, you know, like a Shangri-La, okay? Now, do you realize you might never accomplish that? Or have you already accomplished it? Is it already a dream that is fulfilled in your heart and all you're doing now is putting on the finishing touches? You see? So this is what we do. And Sylvia, she thinks, yeah, I'm working on this book. I'm putting this book together. I'm doing these things with this book. I'm typesetting the book. And it's a blah, blah job. You know, it's just nothing. And then people start saying, oh, the cover is so gorgeous. It's so wonderful. And I'm the one who chose it. I'm the one who chose it, not Sylvia. Actually, Sylvia chose it. Sylvia brought them up from the internet and said, here are some for us to look at. I particularly like this one. And I said, no. Now that's the one I like. You know, you just like the one I like, you know. And Sylvie said, okay, and I'm glad we have good taste. But you see, she doesn't have to always be the winner in other people's minds, which she is already. She just flows with whatever her genius is. And her genius shows in many ways. And you, what do? You have no money. You have no assets, you have nothing at all, and yet you are a world traveler. You travel around the world to visit all the spiritual centers that delight you. You go to these spiritual centers and you enjoy them. You don't speak English, and you don't speak Hindustani, and you don't speak the languages of the many countries you go to, yet you understand perfectly. Your soul, your heart, your being merge with the information that's coming to you. And so you are open to it. That's why you're developing in such a beautiful way. You see, you're a master, but you don't want to take credit for it. Oh, no. I'm not a master like Sai Baba, you know, or like Billy Graham. You know, I'm not a master like Billy Graham, my goodness sakes, you know. Well, no, you aren't. You're better, if you can say that. You are you doing your thing in a way they would never be able to do. Because they would never think in the way you think. They would never dream in the way you dream. And they would never be in the way you are. So you're your own magic wand. You're your own King Arthur, you know. You're your own Merlin. You are the wonderful magic of all. And on recall, if she didn't understand some of these things, you can say it in German for her. But you got most of it, didn't you? Yeah, and Barbara, we've already run her through the ringer, haven't we? Squeezing out of her every bit of goodness, every bit of purity, every bit of love, every bit of wholeness. every bit of joy. And what's she going to do? As she goes home, she's just going to be like a seed that has just sprouted. Fresh, new, perfect, untouched. No chemical fertilizer on her yet. Nothing on her. Just being her pure, wonderful self. And you know, she's like that pure, wonderful cell that the scientists have found in the pyramids. They found these seeds that are thousands of years old. And the seeds are just laying there, dormant. And they were planted to see what would happen. They grew. And they grew beautifully. Here was a seed that yesterday was in a plant, yesterday being thousands of years ago. And then it had a hiatus, a short pause or break between the time that it was in the seed and the time that it came out. And yet, when it came out, it was just as glorious as it was in its original design. And that is a beautiful thing. Think on these things. This is kind of an exciting life that we're leading. My success is not always apparent. You know that. Your success is not always apparent, but your success is always your success. Your success is when you feel good about yourself. And when you feel good about yourself, you can do anything. You can do anything. I got up before these Islamic men who were very wanting to cut me down. You know? They really wanted to cut me down in this lecture that I was giving. And so I turned to them and I said, hey, this is my platform. You know? Now, what question would you like to ask me? Instead of just being a lecturer himself. And so they asked me the questions. And I said to them, this is what Jesus said about that. And now, this is what Muhammad said about that. Exactly the same thing. So now, where do we have a problem? Where do we have a disagreement in our understanding or in our philosophy? Well, now what about? And I said, Jesus said this and Muhammad said this. What about this? Jesus said this and Muhammad said this. Now, well, how do you know Muhammad said this? I said, well, I've read your books. I've read your books. I haven't memorized them. But I did remember where I saw the parallels. I didn't remember where, but I remember that I saw the parallels. Now, if you have a question, yeah. And so they asked the question, and I said, okay, give me your book. We opened it. And I said, right there. Now read it. It was in a different language. And so they read it. And there it was, the answer. I said, do it with anything. Whenever you have any question, just open your book. And the divine wisdom in you and the divine wisdom of your book will be one, and you will know. I said, Muhammad wasn't stupid. He wrote to the philosophical understanding of the spirit in every man. It's his followers that got off the track. The followers started putting all sorts of rules in there about women and stuff like that. Now, in Christianity, it's the followers. Did Jesus teach the Crusades to go down through Europe and slaughter all the people who were not Christians? Who taught such a thing as that? Certainly not Jesus the Christ. But he got the credit. You see, we sometimes lose sight because instead of going directly to the source within ourselves and believing in ourselves, we believe what other people have as their program. My success is not always apparent, but I believe in myself, and I have an answer for anybody on anything to my total satisfaction, because I believe in myself. Now, I could be wrong, but not for myself. You could be wrong, but not for yourself. Believe in yourself. Jesus had a word for that. It is done unto you according to your belief. Pure and simple. Now, what is your belief? Believe in yourself. Man, know thyself. Socrates said that. Plato said that. All the great philosophers said that. Jesus said that. Know yourself. and followed that. My success is not always apparent. I'm always living in success. All of us are. We should start making that our affirmation right now. I am always living in success. Have a lovely day. I love you. 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 I think you're fantastic.